Jana Vallabha Girvardhari. వాసుదేవాయ We have literally every evening maybe 10,000 ghee lamps being offered by different people. It's like a wave of lamps going around the temple room. It is a wonderful sight. This offering of lamps, I will talk about a little bit tomorrow. But today, I would like to concentrate on the actual pastime of the Lord. Kartik month is actually very, very dear to Radharani. And to Krishna, of course. So, because it's very dear to Radharani, it's also very dear to Krishna. And Krishna is very happy in this month, very enthusiastic. Really, what Krishna wants to do is something extraordinary. He wants to steal. And you might be thinking when I said steal, oh, you know, he wants to steal what?
Butter.
That's what instantly comes to mind. But no.
Hearts.
Yes. He is after the hearts of the gopis, actually. And here and there he may steal a little bit of butter, yogurt. He also goes with his friends, you know, to different houses in Vrindavan. And he grabs, he's very tricky. He will send someone to knock on the door in the front and take them a little bit further away. And then while they're engaging them in talking, all the other friends of his just enter the house without their knowledge. So he is, you know, if people are mischievous in this world, they cannot be a more mischievous person than Krishna. He's called, you know, what is that verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, of those who are gamblers, I am the cheat. Krishna himself says that. So, he goes out, he plays. Really he plays, but he's saying he's going out to play with his friends. But this is what he's up to. He goes, he enters the house, and then some trick or other, they find where the butter is kept, where the yogurt is kept. And he is, of course, very fond. If you go at this time of the year to Vrindavan, to any temple, you will find this, what they call makhan misri. Have you heard that? It is, makhan means butter, and misri means sugar candy. So it's mixed together. Now, the Vraja gopis, then they come to their home many times and they find that all their butter and yogurt is missing, or there is a big mess. They become, this is what they think. Suppose someone came, you know how sticky is butter? If it gets on the floor. Yeah. How many of you have tried to wipe it off and clean it? It's very difficult, right? Once butter gets into your hands, to clean it very easy is not easy. It's very difficult. So, anyway, so they become a little bit anxious. They see within the yogurt and the butter footprints of Krishna. And the footprints are, he has different markings underneath his feet. And these markings are there, so they know he has been there. Nobody else has those markings. And so, this is what they are thinking, the gopis. As soon as they see those footprints, they think Krishna and his friends have been to our house. Right. And, but they love him so much. And they are thinking, this is
really bad.
What is bad? They're upset. What are they upset about? Why didn't we see him? He came here at a time when we couldn't see him. Wish we could have seen him here in our house. He came to get our butter, but he did not come to get us. This is what Krishna is thinking. Sorry, the gopis are thinking. So, then they decide, let us go and complain to Mother Yashoda. This is a very good excuse to go and at least see him. So they are always thinking of seeing Krishna. Always thinking of some plan or other that they can either get out of the house, go and have his darshan or be with him. This is their plan. So, now, at the same time, all these gopis are also a little bit jealous of Mother Yashoda. Anybody can think of a reason why they would be jealous of her? Krishna is always there. Mother Yashoda gets to see him all the time. But they don't get this opportunity all the time. So they are jealous. Now, is being jealous a good thing? Just yesterday somebody asked me. They said, I am very, very bad. I said, why? What's wrong with you? This was a woman who came up to me and said that. She said, I see these others, they are getting, these other women, they are getting so much opportunity to serve their guru. And I am not able to go near him or serve him. They have already taken it up and I feel very jealous. This is what they said. I feel very, very jealous. I don't. So I said, it's a very good thing. And they were surprised. I said, jealousy may be okay, but envy is not okay. What is the difference between jealousy and envy? Jealousy means, oh, they are getting an opportunity. I also want. But envy means, they are getting an opportunity. How can I get rid of them? So that I can get this opportunity. You see, this is envy. Envy is a very bad thing. Because there you try to harm the person who is progressing for your own selfish motive. But jealousy even exists in the spiritual world where they will feel jealous. And in fact, Rupa Goswami, in fact, Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is saying that if we want to achieve Krishna, then it is extremely important for us to develop what is called greed for him. And the Sanskrit word used in this case is called laulyam. You have to be extremely greedy to get it. And sometimes you may think, oh, shall I do this? Maybe not. Feeling a little hesitant. And my Guru Maharaj used to say, he who hesitates is lost. Then you remain where you are. No, you go in, you show your eagerness. Krishna, that's what he's looking for. How eager are we? So, here the gopis are extremely eager. And they are also jealous of Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda has Krishna in her house all the time, but they don't. So they want to go and see him. So they go to Mother Yashoda and they say like this. Mother Yashoda, you know one thing? Krishna is always coming to our home. And he's taking our butter. And he sometimes breaks our pots, yogurt pots. And then sometimes we hide this yogurt and butter in a very dark place. But when he goes into the dark place, somehow from his body, so much effulgence is coming out. Then he gets lit up. Everything is very easy to see. So he sees it's there, and he's again up to his mischief. Then we get tired of that. So what we do, in the middle of the ceiling, we hang our yogurt and butter so that he can't reach it. Mind you, at this time Krishna is actually very, very tiny. He goes on his knees, you know, crawling. He's of that age. But all these elderly gopis, they really adore him. So they're saying that we put it up there, and then he still knocks it down with something. He takes a stick, he knocks it down, the yogurt falls on the ground, and he's a huge mess. And he's simply taking everything. So Mother Yashoda, where is Krishna? Like they ask her. In fact, they don't care about what he's done. They just come to see him. Mother Yashoda says, wow, my Krishna is so naughty. He's giving you so much trouble. I think I should chastise him. And they say, no. Don't chastise him. Actually, they didn't want him to get into any trouble, although they complained. It's not that bad. It is not that bad. Then she says, maybe I should take away the jewels from his body. She thought jewels on the body are what is actually making it bright. So he sees where to go. In our Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a place where it says, we have our universe round. And at the bottom of the universe is an ocean called Garbhodak Ocean. So just above the Garbhodak Ocean, there is what you call the Naga Lokas. There are huge serpents living there. No sunlight reaches that part of the universe. It is too far away. So how does everybody see there? They see by the jewels which are on top of the hoods of these serpents. They give the light through which they see everything. So, jewels sometimes give a natural light. Even in the time of Mahabharata, Hastinapur in New Delhi, the palaces of the kings used to be made in such a way that they would be, the pillars would have all these gemstones. And these gemstones would give out light. And that's how many times they lit up the whole area. It was very nice. So, Mother Yashoda is thinking, maybe I should take his jewels away from his body so he cannot see. They said, no, don't take it away. It's okay. We just wanted to know what your Krishna is doing. So then, later, Krishna does another pastime at his own home. He's there at home and Yashoda says, Lala, you come here. She used to call him Lala sometimes. You come here, tell me one thing. Are you not getting enough to eat at your home? Why are you going and stealing from the gopis? What is this? Aren't you worried that your mother and father will get a bad name in society? That my son is so bad that he's going and stealing everywhere in the neighborhood? No, Maya, no. I am not actually going and stealing. We are just having some fun. We are just playing. We are not stealing anything. They are just making up these stories. This is what Krishna would say. He's so naughty, even after being caught, he would lie. he would say, I did not eat any yogurt, any butter, and it's all over his mouth. You know, it would be so good. So these are some of the wonderful, really, very nice pastimes that he used to perform. So, one day, Mother Yashoda got up very early in the morning. And she started to churn the yogurt. There are two ways that you can make butter. In fact, there are two ways you can make ghee. You know what is ghee, right? Clarified butter. So, either you make it from the cream which comes on top of the milk. That's one way to make clarified butter, ghee, by boiling it. Another way is to first turn it into yogurt and then churn it and take the butter out that way. If you have the ghee which is made by churning from yogurt, you don't have any health problems. But if you make it from the other way, which most of the people do, you can get into some health issues. Nowadays, people's digestive system is not very strong like it used to be, you know. I remember in my time, that was like maybe when I was 17, 18 years old. No, I was more than that, about maybe, yeah, 17, 18, 20 years old. At that time, there used to be a milkman who used to come deliver milk at my parents' place. And he was 82 years old. He was putting these milk containers on his bicycle. He didn't have any other transport. He would put it on the handlebars, heavy stuff, on his bicycles. Big containers, about four of them on each side of his bicycle. And he would ride the bicycle about 4, 5, 6 kilometers every day, delivering milk. And he was 80, more than 80 years old. And I asked him, I said, how is it that you are so healthy looking, although you are so aged? You know what he said to me? He said, it's because every day, this much ghee I drink. Oh my God. I still don't know whether to believe him or not. But that's what he said. He said, that makes me what I am. Anyway, that's a side issue. So, Mother Yashoda was churning yogurt on this mortar, you know, churning rod. There is a rod, they tie the string and they go like that and the thing swings to the bottom. And some of these people in Vrindavan and other Vrajadham, they still have that same old system of churning butter. Manda Maharaj used to have 900,000 cows. He was the head of the cowherd community. He was a king. And he had 900,000 cows. Can you imagine that? And there was no lack of milk. If you have that many cows, even if half the herd is bulls, and the another quarter, suppose, is just little babies, calves, still there's so many cows. If you go to Nandagram, where Krishna used to stay with his father, Nanda Baba, there is, if you tell the Pandas, they will show you. They will take you to a place where there is a pond on top of that hill. You know what that pond was? That pond was actually where Yashoda Maiya kept all the milk for Krishna. It was so much milk, it was like a big pond. What to speak of, you know, if how much milk is there elsewhere. And it was not an ordinary cow's milk. She used to keep 7, 8 some special cows there for Krishna. And she would make sure that they had a special fragrant kind of grass to eat. So that the milk that they gave was very flavorful. So, then there will be so many servants because they were the king. She was the queen actually of the cowherd community. There were so many servants at home. But no, she would milk the cow herself. She would bring the milk. She would boil it on the stove herself. She would make the ghee herself. She would make the butter herself and the yogurt and everything for Krishna. She knew exactly how to make it and of what kind of milk. So she had first class stuff for Krishna. So she was, although they were servants, she was, early morning she got up. Krishna was still asleep and she started churning this yogurt. And then Krishna comes. He just woke up and then he's all of a sudden very hungry. So he comes, he doesn't speak. He's very clever, he's very smart. He goes to where Mother Yashoda is churning and she looks at him and she smiles. And he comes and he goes straight for that rod and he grabs hold of it so that she cannot churn it anymore. And then, it means, now you stop this work, you feed me. So she immediately understood Yashoda Maya and she took him on her lap and she started breastfeeding him. And then, while she was breastfeeding him, he was very happy. He was like, this is all he does, you know. Even when Krishna does anything, whatever he does, he does it for pleasure. He never does it for any other purpose. It's like, you know, when someone throws an arrow at him to harm him, the arrows turn into flower, you know, flower garland. Come and he gets garlanded. So even arrows are for him pleasurable. And then when he fights, like when he fought with Chanur and Mustik, you know, Krishna and Balaram fought in Mathura. When he's fighting with them, actually he is feeling pleasure because he's getting some wonderful sport to take part in. So everything for him is a great pleasure pastime. For others it may be a question of life and death. You see, but he does things which are like great pastime. So he was very, very happy, you know, completely carefree and drinking milk. And all of a sudden, Mother Yashoda realizes that she had put on the stove some milk which was about to boil over. So what she does, she quickly takes him, although he was drinking milk, put on the floor. And quickly go to the stove and now you tell me. is this devotional service? Because we are taught, what is that? Anya abhilashita shunyam. Jnana karmadiyana vritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Uttama bhakti or real devotion, devotional service is that there is no personal desire for anything. And anya abhilashita shunyam, that means no abhilasha. Jnana karmadiyana vritam. There is no desire for fruitive results from what you're doing. Or even mental speculation. But doing things which is favorable for Krishna, which is anukul to him, that is shilanam bhakti uttama. So Chanur and Mustak were fighting and Krishna wanted to fight. Was it anukul or pratikul? actually uncool. But here it was not uncool that she left Krishna there. He wanted to drink the milk. So was Yashoda Maya not being a pure devotee? Then it is described, she went to the stove. I've already said what kind of milk was boiling there. It was special for Krishna. So leaving him aside to take care of something for his sake and giving priority to it was actually still anukul for Krishna in another way. But Krishna showed a big anger. He became really frustrated. Have you seen little babies when they get really frustrated and angry? What do? Kick their legs, they jump around, do all sorts of things. Krishna became really frustrated. And he thought, I will do something. He went and he, there was a big pot of yogurt there. If he was to topple it over, there would be a big sound. So he was smart. He took a little stone and he broke it with that little stone. So there was no sound, but everything was spilling out on the floor. And then he went to the next, he crawled into the next room and he started getting some butter out of there. And then he went and invited the monkeys to come in. So he started feeding them. And then he fed them so much that they could not eat any butter or yogurt anymore. And he started to say, useless is butter and yogurt. Even the monkeys won't eat it. he used to be very, very naughty like that, you know. Even the monkeys don't eat it, but actually they had eaten so much they couldn't eat it anymore. Anyway, so now Yashoda comes back and she sees this big mess made there. And she could not find him, but she saw his footprints. We hear in the scriptures that the Lord is Atmaram. Atmaram means he is self-satisfied. So in this pastime, for general people, it's very difficult to understand how he can be God. Because when things didn't go his way, it's like he became angry. He was not self-satisfied. He would be troubled to so many gopis. There are many, many things, anomalies like that, that can be seen. So anyway, she came back, she saw what a mess, and she thought, what should I do? What these gopis were telling me was correct. Now she sees for herself. And she thought, he is my little Lala and I got to take care of him. I have to teach him a lesson. I can't let it go like this. So she picked up a stick. She was not thinking of hitting him with the stick. But she certainly wanted to, make it look really serious now. And she was thinking, if I will not educate my baby, then he will become a thief. And what a big thing, he can become a big problem. So it's my responsibility, I cannot tolerate this. So Krishna saw then her mother coming, his mother coming. First of all, he was very quiet. He was trying not to make any noise. And thought, if I don't make noise, then my mother will not know where I am. And on the other hand, Yashoda was thinking, if I make any noise and I'm approaching, he will run away. So I'm going to go very, very slowly. and try and find where he is. So gradually she was hiding the stick behind her back and she was going very gradually. But Krishna saw her going. And he started running and saying, "Don't do anything to me, please." He gets up and starts running. He's a small boy, so he started running. He was not just on his knees, but he was also running at the time. So then, on the other hand, Mother Yashoda was a little heavy set. She had a thin waist, but she was heavy. She started to chase after him. So guess who can get tired first? Little children, sometimes they never tire. The parents think how much they, energy they get from where. But Krishna was similar. He was just running and running, but Yashoda was determined. I am going to catch hold of him. So she runs after him, and finally she's sweating, she's panting. Imagine, can you run after God and catch him? How can you catch him? It is not a simple thing to catch him. There's more coming on that, but let's go ahead with this first. So she ran after him, and she was sweating and everything. Krishna thought, oh, she's trying so much. She really wants to catch me. Okay, let her catch me. It was only by Krishna's allowing her to do it that she was able to catch him. And when she caught him, she decided, today I'm going to punish him. I'm going to bind him up. So there was this grain grinding wooden mortar, you know, big one. She thought, I'm going to tie you here. So every day, when Krishna is being dressed by Yashoda Maiya, she puts a belt around his waist. She knows exactly the size of the belt. So she went and got a rope, and she started tying it, knowing that this would work, but it did not. It was 2 fingers short. So she went again and brought more rope and added it to the other one by tying a knot. Again, it was 2 fingers short. She literally got, you know, it was not like there was no rope in her house. There was ropes for many, many things. And it's a cowherd community. You know, so she had plenty of rope. And she tried and tried and tried and she tried all she could. She could not bind his belly. And she was getting really frustrated and very, very sweating. And Krishna was watching her. He was watching her, and finally they said, okay, I'll allow you to. And then she was able to tie him. Now, neither can you catch Krishna when you want. And it is said those who are impersonalists, they can never catch Krishna. So how do you actually catch Krishna? You can't even catch him with awe and reverence. That sloka that we chant in the Damodarastak. Iti driksho lila vir ananda kunde. So go shandima jantamat akhyapayantam. Tadiye sita jenshu bhakter jitatvam. Puna prematastam sata vipti vande. That he cannot be bounded by any, he is not attracted by opulence, or if we serve him as God with awe and reverence, you cannot catch him like that. That does not attract him. It is amazing. Even Lakshmi Devi once tried to keep her opulence and gain entrance into Krishna's Rasa Lila, and she could not. After doing even so much tapasya, she could not. because she was not prepared to let go of her opulence. The goddess of fortune was not prepared to let go of her opulence to try and enter. There, in order to enter into Krishna's real pastimes, you have to forget about even God's supremacy. That is not there. Just like he's your friend, or he's your parent, or he's your lover, or beloved, or your, you know, like that. It has to be completely in a simultaneous attraction to Krishna. Not because he's God that I'm actually bowing down to him. Just like Vasudeva and Devaki, they knew Krishna was God. So they were actually very much in awe and reverence. Krishna didn't appreciate that. So he put his hand over their heads and they forgot that, and then they started to show him some affection. But that's what Krishna wants. He wants affection, natural, spontaneous love shown by his devotees. He doesn't care about whether you understand him as God or not, but in the beginning you have to. You can't artificially come to this platform. That is also there. Otherwise, if you artificially try to imitate those great personalities, you become a sahajiya. You start to understand, you think that God can become available so cheaply. No, he is not. So, what is the significance of this lacking these two fingers? That is also explained by Jiva Goswami as well as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He's saying that only what is keeping you away from Krishna or capturing him in your heart. First thing that is needed is some great endeavor from your side, which is called parishram. And Yashoda was actually really trying hard. She first tried very hard to catch him, then Krishna allowed her. Then she tried to bind him, she couldn't. And then finally Krishna allowed her. So without parishram, without actual endeavor and determined effort, that is one thing, that is only half the job done, that is only one finger you have come across. The other finger is not up to you. The other finger is up to Krishna. When he bestows his mercy, that's Krishna Kripa. So this is the significance of these two fingers. Why it was always short by that much? Because there has to be endeavor, and that's endeavor, by our own endeavor we can never achieve Krishna. But by our constant trying, when Krishna becomes pleased and he gives his mercy, then we can achieve him. That is the way to achieve Krishna. So, and that love is what is really conquering. Just like another example is this. There are two different kinds of animals, and they carry their babies in different ways. One is a monkey. How many of you have seen a monkey and their babies carried in India? Anybody seen? How do the babies are carried by the monkeys? Underneath, and the babies are hanging on by their own strength. They're jumping, the monkeys are jumping from tree to tree, they're jumping, and the little baby has to really hold on by his own strength. Right? Isn't it true? And if they can't hold on by their own strength, they'll drop somewhere from high ground. High up, they can drop to the ground. So it's actually very dangerous. Trying to hold on by your own strength is very difficult. There is another animal, which is a kitten, a cat. Cat picks up the kitten in its mouth, and the kitten doesn't have to worry at all. It just gets carried away, carried and put wherever. It's totally surrendered. Or when someone does not surrender to Krishna, then he is trying with his own strength to hold on to things. That is, like the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, these people are trying with their own effort to achieve Krishna, but you can't with your own effort. Effort, parishram is not enough. You have to get Krishna Kripa. You have to get Krishna Kripa. How do you get Krishna Kripa? By totally surrendering to Him. Like the kitten is totally helpless in the mouth of the kitten. And then you don't have to worry. Krishna will take you wherever He wants it. You completely surrender to His will. And then you have conquered. Really conquered. So, Krishna's belly was being bound by Mother Yashoda. The belly is called Udara. And the rope is called Dama. So, Damodara. This is why his name is Damodara. It means the one who is bound with, whose belly is bound with rope. And what is the rope made up of? Yeah, he is bound only with love. Yeah. Otherwise the rope was not able to bind him. He saw her love, that she wanted to really take care of him. He doesn't become a thief. She wanted to correct him so that he becomes a good person, so to speak, although he already was. Yeah. So Krishna allowed him. So it's love really that matters to Krishna, nothing else. So this Damodar Lila is actually very nice. And every year we celebrate this by offering gilams. So shall we stop here? How long am I supposed to be carrying on?
8:30.
So this is fine, right? So we'll stop here. Let's see if there is any questions, maybe 5 minutes, or comments. Anyone?
Prabhuji, you explained about the difference between jealousy and envy. I understood the other way around. Envy is the positive thing and jealousy is the negative thing, but you described it the other way.
Yes, because in the Vedic scriptures, envy is described as matsarya. Matsarya includes all the other 5 bad qualities. There are 6 bad qualities: kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, and matsarya. So matsarya includes these 5.
Yeah, but that's fine. But I think when it's an English translation,
Prabhupada translated envy as
negatively.
Yeah, negatively.
Oh, okay.
The jealousy is the other way. That's how Prabhupada translated. So I'm just repeating what he said. Anyway, whether you call it envy, give it a different word, but it doesn't change the meaning, right? It's just the same. Well, the concept is what we have to try to understand. That, in one concept, you're trying to put the other person down, whereas in the other concept, you're not really trying to do that, but you're trying to achieve, get to a higher level, being inspired by someone, seeing someone doing so well. So it's a different kind of jealousy and envy. Envy is also stated in the Bhagavatam, as Narad Muni says, how do you get rid of envy? So the envy comes. How does it originate? Yeah? Any idea? Yes?
When one feels disturbed, to see that somebody has something that he himself doesn't have.
Yeah, you're very close. Narada Muni says that because you want sense gratification for yourself, therefore you disregard others' needs, and at the cost of others, you'd rather fulfill your own need. So he says, if one wants to give up envy, they have to give up the desire for sense gratification. This is how Narada Muni, this is, if you will find it in the 7th canto, I think 15th chapter, Narada Muni describes each particular bad quality and how to get rid of it. And then one may ask, okay, how to get rid of sense gratification? If I get rid of envy by getting rid of sense gratification, how do I get rid of sense gratification? Then Narada Muni says how to do that. He says, by making plans with determination. Many people, they don't plan anything, especially when it comes to spiritual life. In the material life, they'll do their planning. They'll be very, very vigilant. When it comes to spiritual life, they don't give any importance. And they don't do their planning. You know, I have got these many years to live. I have got to become perfect by this much time. And they therefore lose a lot of time because they're not really seriously considering spiritual life as a very important part of their life. So, making plans with determination, you get rid of sense gratification. And how do you get rid of fear? Have we got that book here? Can anybody see if we have the 7th canto, the last volume? Very interesting for all of you. I found it very interesting when I read it. Seventh Canto, Chapter 15, Text 22 onwards. I'll read it out. By making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. Similarly, by giving up envy, one should conquer anger. The anger can only be conquered after envy is given up. By discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. How do you give up greed? By discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth. And how do you give up fear? By discussing the truth. Then, if you are affected by lamentation and illusion, then you can give that up by discussing spiritual knowledge. And if you are very proud, very egoistic, then you can get rid of pride, become prideless, by serving a great devotee. By serving him, you would know that you are nothing. You see, that is, and how do you, you say, simply by stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. It is reconfirmed here. Then he says, one can By keeping silent and not speaking, one can avoid obstacles on the path of mystic yoga. If you are performing mystic yoga, you have to remain silent. Then, by good behavior, now, this is a very significant one. Sometimes people ask me, how do you deal with this? There are people who, you are not envious, but there are people who are really envious of you. How do you get rid of that problem? Right? Anybody has any suggestions?
Perhaps serving those people who are envious of you.
Very nice answers in your probe. Thank you. Here is what it says. By good behavior and freedom from envy, one should counteract sufferings given to you by other living beings. So it's generally not just by those who are envious of you, but anybody who is giving trouble to you of any sort. If you want to minimize that or get rid of it, then you behave very well with them, very, very amicably still, even though they do that to you. And by freedom from envy. You're not envious of them. You're not, that means you're not thinking to do any harm to them. And then it says, how do you get rid of suffering given to you by the devatas, by the higher beings, by the devic miseries? By meditation in trance, one should counteract the sufferings due to providence like that. Then, how do you get rid of suffering from the body and the mind? Everybody seems to know that nowadays. By practicing Hatha Yoga, Pranayama, etc., one can actually get rid of sufferings from the body and mind. And how do you conquer sleep? Some people are very, very affected. You know, they become sleepy, they can't help it. How do you conquer sleep? By developing the mode of goodness, especially in regards to eating. Makes sense, right? By developing the mode of goodness, especially in regards to eating, one can conquer sleep. But you can conquer the modes of passion and ignorance only by developing the mode of goodness. I went to someone's house some time ago, and they had a devotee house. And after about 3 years, which is when I've come back, right, I went to their house again. And I saw a vast difference in the consciousness of everybody. I saw that their interest for spiritual life is completely like finished. The children are not even interested. All day and night they just sit in front of the television and just watch movies. Previously when I went there, they were doing aarti every evening. They were reading something. They were sitting together with harmonium and mridanga and they were doing bhajans. I see a complete change. Then I went up and I looked at their rooms. There was probably no space on the floor. You could not even walk. There was clothes laying there, jewelries laying on the floor. This, that, the whole place is completely mess. They were literally living in the mode of ignorance. And I was really shocked to see all of this. And the parents were thinking, our children are not taking interest. There will be no possibility of knowledge in any other mode except goodness. And the parents allow them to keep their rooms like that. It will be the mode of ignorance. It's a sign of laziness. You cannot even... It takes about 15 minutes to clean things up. But if you can't even afford that much time, that means it's totally the mode of ignorance. And one of the symptoms of the mode of ignorance is laziness. Yeah. So I said, unless this is all cleaned up and they're put into the mode of your environment matters, it affects you. You know, it will have that type of effect on you. You go in there and it's not inspiring at all. It's all dirty or so untidy that you don't feel like you're doing anything spiritual. When you go to a temple, why do we keep it clean? We keep it all orderly, you know, nice. It's we are giving the people the mode, an experience of the mode of goodness. Of course, the temple is supposed to be in the mode of transcendental goodness. But at least a person should be in the mode of goodness. So how do you come to the mode of goodness? How do you get rid of the lower mode, sorry? By developing the mode of goodness. You get rid of the passion and ignorance by developing the mode of goodness, and one becomes, then one should become detached from the mode of goodness and promote oneself to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, which is pure goodness. Pure goodness and material goodness. The difference is what? Pure goodness sometimes gets affected by passion and ignorance. But goodness, material goodness gets affected by passion and ignorance, but pure goodness never gets affected by passion and ignorance. And that's the stage we have to come to. Now, I have mentioned so many things, how to conquer this by that, that by that, that by that. And you know what is the summary given by Narada Muni in the end? He says you can achieve all of this at one shot. How? Here is the secret. All the envy, greed, anger, and all the living entities giving you trouble, so many other things he mentioned, right? And he said, there is one thing you do, and all of this is done immediately, automatically. All this can be automatically done if one engages in the service of the Guru with faith and devotion. In this way, one can conquer the influence of the modes of nature. So, the spiritual master should therefore be actually honored. So we are not doing something which is out of the ordinary. And if we don't do that, it says, for one who maintains the material conception that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, everything is frustrated. His enlightenment, his Vedic studies and knowledge are like the bathing of an elephant. Who gets dirty again? Okay, I think we have gone enough. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Tomorrow we will continue with something else interesting. Tomorrow my topic, I'll try and find that. But I want to talk about what is the benefit of meditating on each different part of the form of the Lord, when we have the darshan of the Lord. So during these few days, I think we will tell some katha, stories, but within the stories there will be some very important lessons for us to learn to. And that I will try and... Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrī Dāmodara līlā ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premānanda ki jai.